Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 929 The Game, the unnamed show, soon to be named. It's Thomas Mott, along with my producer, Marshall Parker. I asked him for this song, and I didn't think you'd get it in time, but here it is. Oh, man, it's a good song. Turn it up for a second. Turn it up. Turn it up. Oh, man, play it. This
she
is a great
black
song.
Night with big dark eyes.
Okay, enough of that. That's a great song. That's a great song. Again, it's the unnamed show. We're on until, well, two more hours. This is the start of hour number two, 12 a.m. Eastern time. So happy new day. We're all here. And we are going to be talking a little bit of baseball, an interesting new baseball rule change that could be coming sooner rather than later. We'll talk about that in 1 second. And, of course, coming up in just a couple of segments, I'm going to react to John Fricke's top 10 recording returning college quarterbacks in 2019. He released a list today. We love John here. He hosts the morning show with John and Hugh. And today he released his top 10 quarterbacks returning in college football. And there's some big errors that I don't agree with. Love John, but I don't agree with his list. We'll get to that in 2 segments. But first, before we go anywhere, Adrian from Cumming, he has a show name. Adrian, you're on. What is up? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Are you tired yet? Or are you still going strong?
Pretty strong because I'm sick right now.
Oh, man.
I had some Dayquil, so.
There you go. There you go. I can hear it. Listen, I was sick like a week ago. It's going around.
Yeah.
But you can't get sick listening to me on the radio, so that's a good thing. What is your show name idea?
Well, I was thinking, this has probably already been said, but Mott's Thoughts.
It has already been said right there, but that's one of the top ones. That one's really good.
Okay.
That one's really good. Hey, listen, Adrian, feel better. And I appreciate the call. Hopefully that Dayquil helps.
Thank you.
All right, man. Have a good night. Mott's Thoughts. That one's on there. Listen, again, all the show names, all the callers calling in, I really appreciate it. Again, if you want to call in for a show name, 404-741-0929.
You know, one of the great things about this is you're going to have whatever gets chosen for the show name, that's awesome. But there, you have so many different selections.
So many.
That, like, we could do a five-hour show, and each segment could have its own.
Literally. At this point, this is show number three in my 92.9 The Game career, right?
We generally have 3 to 4 segments an hour. So, you know, what is that? So we could probably fill a five-hour show
easily
with 4 segments an hour and name every single segment.
Easily. Listen, every great show has a great name, okay? And that's why I'm trying to nail it here at the very beginning. That way you guys know, okay, it's 12 p.m., okay? I think Mott's on tonight, and we're going to go, I got to listen to Mott's show. That's called blank blank, right? Or whatever Mott's show is going to be called. Again, that's the nickname I had in college. Mott, my last name, so you can use that. That's pretty
Mott
easy
in my
do.
House.
Mott in my house. That one's
I
really
like that
good.
One.
The
was
motto
good.
Was really good. That one came tonight. Mott So Fast, that one's good as well. Again, if you follow me on Twitter, I will mention your name on the air. Tony Giddens, Bruce Thompson. Tony Giddens said the Mott Zone. Bruce Thompson said, how about Mott for real? That one's not bad. Mott for real. Mott's Zoo was suggested by Tony, and then Joseph Yun, I believe, followed me on Twitter as well. Really appreciate that. Listen, we have the Twitter following up. We'll have a show page once we get the name. You can follow that as well. That way you can never miss a single show here on 92.9 The Game. Man, we're having fun. Hour one went by, like, in 5 minutes. It was like a five-minute hour. It was so fast. All the callers, it was great. We're here in hour number two, and the promised MLB rule change that was in this Bleacher Report article today, and the article is titled, Would Moving the Mound Back Be Baseball's Worst Rule Experiment by Jacob Schaefer? So kind of hints there what I'm going to talk about here. But actually, at the beginning of the article, it also mentions that the MLB is going to experiment with an automated strike zone. That way, so I guess removing the umpire from behind the plate and doing an automated strike zone. What do you think about that, Mr. Baseball Man Marshall?
I am torn on this. I really, really am.
Right.
Because in theory, I think it's a great idea.
I do too.
But part of what's really unique and interesting about the game of baseball is the fact that every umpire is slightly different.
Yes. And they'll call stuff slightly different,
and
right?
And they will, yes. And sometimes they will call strikes that technically aren't strikes.
Yes.
But they are consistent with all pitchers throughout the game. And so, you know, you almost have this sort of sliding strike zone where it moves over just slightly because, hey, it's a human call in the game. But the human's still being consistent.
And that's a great that's a really good point.
And I like
here,
that. I do wish you don't see a lot of umpires calling the high strikes, the letter high strikes
yes.
anymore. A lot
yes.
of them like will not call that strike, and that kind of bugs me. But I am intrigued by the robo umpire.
I'm intrigued by it too. I think that this is for sure eventually going to happen. I don't know how soon, but this to me all started when on any single MLB broadcast they put the strike zone there.
Yeah.
And then they like track each ball so that you can literally watch and you know 100%, okay, the ref just missed the call or the umpire just missed the call.
What's really cool is if you have the MLB at bat
yeah.
app
yeah.
And you watch the game cast, you can click on the pitch and it will show you a graph of how much it breaks.
Really?
Yeah, it's really, really
cool
to
see. Oh, that's really cool.
So I do have a caveat to this robo umpire
yes,
thing.
Yes, what is it?
Why hasn't the NFL put like RFID chips in the football yet so that, you know, when the ball crosses the goal line, boom, touchdown.
That,
no question.
That,
like that's so easy.
That to me
that technology
is so
has been around
simple.
So easy.
Unless there's some way that it would like disrupt the flight of the ball, like it would weigh too much, but I don't
no,
think so
because no.
they're so small
yeah.
now, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I know. Listen,
we have
I
nanotechnology,
totally
dude. No,
they did the whole pylon cam, but if Tom Brady sneaks it from the one and he dives under, right, and linebackers are diving over the pile, it's nearly impossible to see. It's nearly
right,
and,
which
and
is,
you could do that with like first downs too.
Yeah,
man,
yeah,
that's a good, really good.
No, no,
point.
No. Well, I mean, and it's slightly off topic, but
no,
kind of along
point,
the same
though.
Lines because it's technology in professional sports.
Yeah.
And I think we should be utilizing it to an extent.
See, and this, and I like the to the extent is important because everyone was talking about having, this is off topic as well, but I think it matters. Everyone was talking about having replay for pass interferences in the NFL and how that they're talking about that and they might implement that in future seasons. But the problem with that is that if you let them review pass interferences, then how much longer are we making the game? NFL games are already very long, especially if you're like me and you live on the East Coast now, then it's very, very, very long. And so you would have to, in the NFL's case, if you want to review pass interferences, then you'd have to make it a limit and like make it one of the things they can already review with their two challenges, right? That way they don't have extra challenges for that. So then you have to decide, do I want to review that fumble? Well, I guess that's automatic review. Do I want to review that spot? Or do I want to review, you know, that pass interference? Interesting topic is the automated referee, and I think that's going to be happening sooner rather than later. But the article, the main point of the article here on BleacherReport.com by Jacob Schaefer, would moving the mound back be baseball's worst rule experiment? And you start reading the article, and it makes a case that moving the mound back would possibly alleviate throwing injuries. And apparently, and this is true, Tommy John injuries have been almost an epidemic growing in baseball. Now, they have been going down. It was at 143 minor and major league players had Tommy John's in 2015.
That was the right word for it, too, by the way, epidemic.
It is an epidemic. In 2015, it was at its peak. It fell to 122 in 2016, 100 in 2017, and 84 in 2018. So it's going down, so that's good. But it mentions moving the base back a couple of feet. And of course, it's been at 60, I think, 0.6 feet for, you know, years and years, since like 1893 or whatever. But that would, in a sense, I think the point of the article is to say that if they move it back, then pitchers would be forced to throw more off-speed pitches in order to get more strikeouts. Because here's the deal. If you move the mound back, then batters are going to have a longer time to react, right? That's the main thing. So you know, you throw an 100 mile per hour fastball at 60, at what it is right now, 60 feet. You move it back a couple of feet, and that's slower technically because it has to travel more distance, right? Simple math here. You know, on the show, we get a little math scheduled here. But What they also mention is if you move it back a couple of feet, breaking balls are going to have more time to break. And pitchers already have crazy control that if you move it back even further, it'll be almost impossible to hit a curveball.
Even fastballs have break to them.
Right.
They may not break as much as an actual breaking pitch, but there is still a break there.
Right.
And it's going to accentuate everything. But I think the biggest problem actually comes with these guys have been throwing nearly 60 feet 6 inches for a lot of their lives. And it is a learned thing. It is muscle memory. Conditioning.
That's a great point.
And now MLB already lowered the mound once.
Right.
And when did they do that?
1968.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so by moving the mound back further, you are altering pitchers' mechanics.
Yeah. Imagine like Kershaw suddenly having to imagine the first offseason, the first spring training after this happened. Like, pitchers are probably going to go insane.
Oh yeah, yeah, and then it's going to cause a ripple effect.
Yeah.
Because so Major League Baseball has moved their mound back. So do colleges follow suit?
Great point.
Do high schools follow suit?
Excellent.
Because
point.
You see a lot of kids go into the minor leagues straight out of high school.
Yep.
And you see a lot of kids getting drafted out of college. So you know what's going to happen here, and there are a lot of kids that actually train with semi-professional players looking to make it to the next level in baseball as a pitcher or as a baseball player. And so, you know, you are altering so many mechanics of the game by this seemingly tiny little thing.
Well, and so the article states that they aren't going to implement it in Major League Baseball yet. They're going to implement it this year in what's called the Atlantic League, which I had never heard of. I had to look it up. And the Atlantic League has been around for 21 seasons. The Atlantic League of Professional Baseball, the ALPB, and they say on their website it's the highest level of professional baseball other than Major League Baseball. So this is not like an AAF where you have to, like, you know, you go to the AAF because you are trying to prove to the NFL that you want to move up. The ALPB is kind of like after the MLB, right? So you've been in the MLB for many years and you don't want to quit yet, but, you know, you're really not going to ever be on an MLB team again, so you go play in the Atlantic League. And so MLB just struck a deal with the Atlantic today, a 3-year deal to be able to start implementing the automated ref and then moving the mound back a couple of feet. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens in this this Atlantic League. Apparently, there were 8 teams in the Atlantic League? I think it was 8 teams is what
I
read.
And they're trying to expand
to 12 right now. They would join existing teams in New York, Philadelphia, Hartford, Baltimore, Washington, and Houston. And so it's an interesting thought there because what are they going to do? And what would happen if they move the mound back? We're going to take a call real quick, and then we're going to go to break. Eric, really fastly, very quickly, your show name. Go quick.
Okay, it's Mott for everybody. On the block with Mott, out the block with Mott, or taking shots with Mott.
Taking shots with Mott. I like on the block with Mott. I like that one.
I need Eric to write us a rap for that.
Yeah, I know, right? On the block with Mott. Taking shots with Mott sounds like what I do with callers on the weekends. You know, like we all go to a bar, and taking shots with Mott. I sell tickets for it and everything. Hey, listen, Eric, thank you very much for the phone call there. Keep them coming. Again, 404-741-0929. When we come back, we have the interview from the Midday Show, and it's Brian Jordan, who is a Braves analyst and reporter for Fox Sports South. He's also a former Brave and Falcon talking Braves. He was on earlier today with Rick and John. Don't go anywhere. 92.9 The Game. And again, after that segment, a ton of stuff to talk about. I'm not tired. A lot of time left. Don't go anywhere. 92.9 The Game. Back here on 92.9 The Game, Marshall Parker is killing the song selection. I'm Thomas Mott, and we are rolling right through hour number two. Almost 12:30 on the East Coast. I'm not tired yet, neither are you. Let's keep it rolling here, as we're going to roll right into an interview from earlier this afternoon on the Midday Show, Rick and John. They had Brian Jordan. He is a Braves analyst and reporter for Fox Sports South. He knows his stuff. We got to get the Braves talks in for you Braves fans. Listen, he played for the Braves and the Falcons, actually, as well. And so we're going to play that segment right now. Let's go.
One of the greatest athletes of all time, John Michaels, to be able to do what this guy did in Major League Baseball and the NFL at the same time. And Brian Jordan probably blushing as we say good afternoon. And, Brian, great to have you back on and great to start this bit back up.
Man, I really appreciate it, Rick, the compliment. But you know I'm the Rodney Dangerfield of two-sport athletes, man. I get no respect, man.
Yeah, unfortunately for you, it's Bo Jackson, it's Deion Sanders, and then they'll go, oh, yeah, Brian played two sports as well, which is ridiculous because you were great in both of them.
I appreciate it, guys. But, you know, they slipped Tim Tebow in there, too, before me. That's just awful.
Yeah, that's terrible. We cannot allow Tim Tebow to happen. All right, the Braves have slipped Dansby Swanson back into the lineup, Brian, and I want your thoughts on this. I've said if I'm the Braves, it's time to move on from Dansby Swanson. Two mediocre seasons at shortstop. He's been dealing with injury. I think Camargo's a better player. What are your thoughts on Dansby and getting another year to be the full-time shortstop?
Well, look, guys, I like Dansby Swanson. He's a guy that, you know, I felt like the Braves really forced into action and made him the face of the Braves a little too early, put a lot of pressure on that young man. I still think he has the tools to be a great shortstop, to be a great hitter. But, you know, coming into spring training, coming off an injury, the pressure's on Dansby. He has to perform in spring training because Camargo, after his second half of the season, you almost hated to see the Braves go after a third baseman because I felt like he was the man. He led the team in RBIs in the second half of the season. He was primed to take off this season and to sign Donaldson as the everyday third baseman. You know, I know it upsets Camargo, but right now, guys, if Dansby is not 100% healthy, Camargo should be the shortstop. He is that talented.
Yeah, Brian, I'm with you, and I'm giving Dansby one more year to kind of win me over. John's done. It's a wrap, as he just explained. I'm going to give, and I'm not mad at him. Sometimes I'm like, I've seen enough. I'm out, and I'm usually kind of the. I mean, John is too, but we can both be ahead of the game. But I'm giving Dansby Swanson one more year. You mentioned third base. I would like your theory because to me it's really mysterious why Josh Donaldson is not playing. I know he's injury prone. I know he's an older player. But come on. I mean, there's all kinds of guys who are playing around Major League Baseball right now. There's no reported injury. They're saying they hope he is in the lineup tomorrow. So what's your theory about why Donaldson hasn't played yet?
Guys, I listen to you guys every morning and how you guys are getting on these guys for not being in the lineup and you're in panic mode. Guys, I'm from the Bobby Cox school, and Brian Snicker is the same way. The first thing that Bobby Cox says in spring training is, pace yourself, be ready for opening day. I don't care how hard you work in the offseason, you cannot translate putting on spikes and running the bases come spring training. And it takes a lot of time for your body to get used to that. And Donaldson's coming off injuries, barely played last year. The one thing you want him to be is 100% opening day. And he knows his body, guys. He's going to take his time. He's a veteran. He's been there, done it. And I believe he's just pacing himself to be ready, you know, come March 15th, when I think all guys start saying, hey, it's time to be in a lineup every day to get our timing ready for day one. But the first 2 weeks of spring training, guys, you do not want to take any chances on any little knick-knack to your body and, you know, force yourself. You don't want to take that chance, and I think that's what Donaldson's doing. He's going to make sure his body feels 100% before he gets out there and swing at a 98-mile-an-hour fastball.
We got our guy Brian Jordan on the WadeFord.com hotline. He'll be joining us all season long, every Tuesday and every Thursday at 1 o'clock, as we'll talk Braves baseball and other baseball as well. Brian, does that same theory that you just talked about hold true with the pitching staff? We've heard Folty and Gausman, Minter, other guys dealing with shoulder and elbow stiffness. Do you think it's just a pace-yourself-right-now situation when it comes to guys getting ready?
Yeah, for those guys who know they're going to be in the big leagues, know they're going to start the season, you definitely want them to take good care of themselves and don't take chances. But for the young guys who are still trying to show themselves, you know, you almost got to play in a little pain so that you can make the ball club and show what you have. But I'm not concerned about Minter and those guys with the little shoulder nags, Fulton Nevich. Come March 15th, when I'm down there at spring training, March 15th through the 22nd, I think it's really important for guys to start being in the lineup every day. Every chance they have to pitch, they got to make that appointment. And if they don't, then I will say I'm concerned about whether they're going to be ready for the start of the season.
The great Brian Jordan joining Rick and John here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Hit 282 in his long MLB career, hit 184 home runs, 5 interceptions as an NFL player, obviously a Falcon and a Brave. I want to talk about Ronald Acuna because, Brian, you say you're listening. You listen to us in panic mode. You obviously are not in panic mode, but you listen to me and John talking about all this stuff. I'm trying to find positives in a preseason where there's been a lot of sort of negative headlines. And Ronald Acuna certainly is a big-time positive. Hit his first spring home run yesterday. And John and I have been kicking around. We kind of expect 30-30, which is a massive historic year. Are we putting too much on Ronald Acuna too soon?
No, this kid is special. And, you know, I knew it last year in spring training when I came down to watch him. I mean, he is beyond better than every guy out on the field in my eyes. You know, you look at what Bryce Harper made. You know, this guy, I think, is on track to making even more than Bryce Harper. I mean, that's the talent that he is. He loves the game. He smiles. He enjoys himself. But he has the tools to do it all. I mean, he's a five-tool player, guys. He's not one of those one-dimensional guys that's going to swing for home runs. He can run. He can drive the ball in the gaps. He can drive in 100 runs. And I think he's a guy that makes adjustments. You know, he's going to get into a little minor slump, but he quickly gets out of those slumps. And I think he's going to be one of the best players in Major League Baseball.
Would you bat him leadoff? Would you bat him leadoff, Brian?
You know what? I think ideally he's a number three hitter because he's going to be your best hitter in the lineup. Right now, though, I would leave him there at leadoff because he's comfortable. He enjoys it because he enjoys running and scoring runs. I mean, he's not afraid to go first to third every single that's hit. So he's a guy that's – you want at the top of your lineup because he's going to make things happen. And looking at our lineup, why not? I mean, you got Albies maybe second, Freddie Freeman third, Donaldson in the middle of that lineup with the power that he has. I mean, you got so many options. But ultimately, I think he's going to be your number three hitter long term.
Brian, when you look at the lineup, and I was going to ask you that because I would put Ozzie Albies at number two as well. Does that put Inciarte down at the bottom of the lineup, or do they try to make him maybe a second leadoff guy hitting him sixth or seventh?
Well, I think the key to spring training is to watch Inciarte. I mean, if he returns to a year ago where he was hitting the ball, spraying the ball all over the field and not trying to pull the ball all the time, he can be your ideal leadoff guy. Then you can set Acuna back at that number three spot like I told you. But Inciarte is the key piece to the puzzle. If he goes to spring training, lays down some bunch, hits the ball the other way with consistency, I think you put him at leadoff. I mean, that's just going to make your lineup that much better if he can take that leadoff spot.
So, Brian, I'm really conflicted. Brian Jordan joining Rick and John here on our Braves Breakdown. Really conflicted about the Craig Kimbrel thing. I want him here, and I want him here badly. You have heard me desperately pleading with the powers that be with the Braves too. But then, Brian, we get this intel from Paul Crane that Craig Kimbrel, and he said this on the morning show this morning, that Craig Kimbrel will not even entertain offers that are not 5 or 6 years. So if you came at him with monster money on a 3-year deal, he's not even entertaining it. So, like, I want the Braves to get him, but Craig Kimbrel's delusional and nuts. Nobody in the league has stepped forward with a long-term deal. We're in the first week of March. The market has been set for you, bruh. Take the big money on a shorter-term deal. What's going on here?
Well, what's going on, Rick, is analytics. And the analytics has changed the game. And I think, you know, come 2020, when that whole collective bargaining comes to the table, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we have a strike. Because the analytics are changing the games. Do Kimbrel deserve a 5-year deal? Yes. I mean, he puts up the great numbers. But according to the analytics, you know, he does not deserve a long-term deal. And that's what he's fighting against. Alex Anthopoulos is a very smart general manager. He's not going to overpay players. And he does not want to pay any closer five-year deal because of the analytics. So I believe Kimball will find that out very soon when he's still available almost at the start of the season. You know, he's going to finally have to figure out, well, maybe I will take that three-year deal. And I think that's when Alex Anthopoulos will step to the table. I mean, same with Keuchel. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, because of past injuries, analytics are saying he does not deserve a long-term deal. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think Keuchel and Kimball are still on the table for the Braves, but they're going to have to take less years.
Brian, which place do you see the Braves having a more pressing need? The back end of the bullpen, potentially somebody like Kimbrel, or the front end of the rotation? I'm not sure Keuchel's a one anymore, but he could be a number two. Which one would you rather sign? And it doesn't have to be specifically those guys. Just where would you rather go to improve the team, starting rotation or back end of the bullpen?
Guys, I'm still not convinced with the starting rotation. I think you still have to go after that veteran, a guy who's proven that, you know, he can pitch. And Keuchel, you look at his resume, I mean, this is a ground ball pitcher, perfect for SunTrust Park. I think he's still out there, and hopefully, you know, when the years go down, that's a guy that we may pick up. But I think starting rotation is the pivotal position that we need to show some attention to.
Brian, great stuff as always. We'll catch up with you Thursday. Look forward to this throughout the entire season.
Thank you, Brian.
All right, guys. Thanks, man.
There was a time when at 12:42 a.m. I would be tired, but not anymore. I mean, this is the time to go. We are halfway through hour number two here on the soon-to-be-named, unnamed show. Thomas Mott sitting in with my producer, Marshall Parker, 92.9 The Game, Kia Studios. If you want to get in on the conversation, 404-741-0929. I think you're going to need that number because we're about to talk some college football. I think it's the first time I've talked college football in my very, very long three-day career so far here at 92.9 The Game because, and we're going to bring Marshall in for this one for sure because he is as UGA as they go. Our one and only and beloved John Fricke, who co-hosts the morning show from 6 to 10 a.m. with Hugh Douglas, posted something on our website at 92.9thegame.radio.com. It's called College Football Top 10 Returning Quarterbacks for 2019. So this popped up on my Twitter feed today, and I clicked on it because it's like, oh, okay, well, there are a lot of really good quarterbacks in college football this year. Let's see his ranking. And the cover picture is Trevor Lawrence. So obviously that means Trevor Lawrence is number one, and he is, and that's 100% correct. You cannot have the season Trevor Lawrence had and the finish to the season that Trevor Lawrence had and not put him at number one. And this is going to be the Heisman favorite, and he's going to be, and Fricke says it in the article, the most sought-after quarterback to go to the NFL in 2020 since Peyton Manning. I mean, this guy, as long as he doesn't get hurt and he has a great season, this guy is going to be like people are going to be licking their chops to have the number one seed or the number one pick in Trevor Lawrence's draft. Okay, so he's one for one. You know, let's keep going down the list here. Tua Tagovailoa is number two, which I think is fair. Everyone wants to knock Tua for his final two games. Remember, didn't play well against Georgia, right? Got hurt in the SEC title game and then did not play well at all against what is a very good Clemson defense. But that means we forget that he balled out of his mind from 2 years ago, the national championship game, second half of that one, until the SEC title game. Number three is where we start to have a couple of issues here. John Fricke has Justin Fields as number three, the number three best quarterback in college football returning for next year.
Wrong.
And yeah,
I disagree.
Now, number four is Jake Fromm. Okay. So he puts Justin Fields, who has not had a full season, has only started he only played in a couple of games and threw four touchdowns in 2018, 328 yards. But above Jake Fromm?
Yeah, no. I completely disagree here. I think John might have Fromm in the right spot.
Okay.
I don't necessarily disagree with where Fromm is at number four.
Right.
However, I do disagree that Justin Fields at number three.
Yes. Yes. And listen, the issue here is that Justin Fields might be really great. Remember, he has all the size, he has all the measurables, the number one high school recruit on ESPN 300. You know, we're talking 6'3", 225 pounds, like prototype, and can run.
I think he's got the highest potential ceiling of this group. Like,
yes.
As far as, like, he has more to prove than probably anybody on this list.
Well, and see, and that's because he couldn't beat Jake Fromm out.
Right.
And that, to me, is the issue here. Now, listen, at the end of next season, this coming season, at the end, we might be able to look back at this and be like, oh, okay, wait, John was totally right. Like,
yeah,
Justin Fields
nailed
was the best.
It or,
but when we talk
but
about
right now.
When we talk about going into this season, Fromm being below Fields, to me, just seems kind of a stretch there. Now, listen, Jake Fromm is this, I don't know, how do you guys feel about Jake Fromm at UGA? Because remember, he's a great quarterback. And we've seen what he could do as a freshman in the national title game. And his numbers, when you look at them on paper, were good this year. But, of course, Georgia blew out a lot of people, and so he didn't play, you know, as much as, you know, a normal starter like a Justin Herbert would have played, right, up at Oregon.
I see Jake from State Fromm.
Yep.
As very much a game manager. Almost.
But he's a good game manager.
And I want to preface this by saying I use this expression extremely, extremely lightly.
Yes.
But he has the football smarts, the football IQ to almost give you – I almost want to draw a comparison to Peyton Manning.
Okay.
As far as, like,
okay.
Managing a game.
Okay.
I'm not saying his arm is there or any of that other stuff.
Yes.
I'm talking pure football
yes,
IQ.
Yes, yes, yes. No, and I would agree with that. This kid's smart. He's proved that. To be able – listen, you can't go toe-to-toe with Alabama as a redshirt freshman.
And also his personality.
And his personality's really good, too. This is going to be a guy – it's a big year for him, right? Junior season. He's going to go to the draft after this year. He needs to have a big year. I just don't know if I'd put him behind Justin Fields because we have not seen Justin Fields, and who knows? Now, you start keep going – you know, you keep going down the list, okay?
Hey, well, before you continue, ESPN was – somebody at ESPN, and I don't remember who exactly it was, but when Fromm replaced Eason in the 2017 season –
yes.
There were a couple of guys at ESPN that came out and said that they firmly believed Jake Fromm would be a first-round draft pick when he went.
I think he can be. Now, the problem is that his draft class is going to be a tough draft class. Like, right, it's the 2022 class.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be the first quarterback off the board. But if he has a huge season, then he's for sure going to be in the probably the top 15, the top 10, because he's a prototypical, like, this is your prototypical quarterback in the NFL. Number five is Shea Patterson, which to me is a little bit high.
That's a stretch. I agree.
Because, I mean, listen, this past year, I was super pumped to see John Harbaugh have a quote-unquote NFL quarterback in Shea Patterson, and it didn't work, right? I mean, like, it's not like it...
John Harbaugh doesn't work.
Like, okay. Well,
or Jim Harbaugh.
There you go. Jim Harbaugh. Sorry. John plays, or is the coach of Baltimore.
One of the Harbaughs.
Yeah. But Shea Patterson, again, wasn't that great. And Michigan wasn't that great. And it was this was supposed to be Michigan's year, and it wasn't. And so I don't know if five is as high as he should be. Number six, to me, has the biggest potential to be an absolute monster next year. Well, this is number six on John Fricke's list. He has Jalen Hurts at number six.
Now, you want to talk about somebody that probably should be in that number three slot?
Yes.
I think Jalen should possibly be in that number three slot.
The fact that he went to
especially
Oklahoma.
Especially at Oklahoma, yes.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, he is going to, in my opinion, not even my opinion, it's the best place to go for a quarterback. It's been proven the past 2 years.
That's where Justin Fields should have gone.
Oh, my.
That's
exactly
where Justin Fields. And you know what? If Justin Fields had gone to Oklahoma, this is a completely different conversation.
Yeah.
Completely different conversation, because I think John nails it, and I think Justin Fields is probably in that number three slot.
Just based on
how Oklahoma develops quarterbacks.
Lincoln Riley is an amazing guy. Okay, I got to call a Lincoln Riley game when I was at Baylor. I got to call Baker Mayfield. I loved Baker Mayfield coming out. I was a huge Baker Mayfield fan. Kyler Murray will be the number one overall pick this year. And then you put him, like you said, you put him in Oklahoma where it's going to be cold later in the season, But it's not Ohio State cold, right? I mean, Oklahoma and Ohio State are two very different places, and you have a proven guy like Lincoln Riley, and instead of having Urban Meyer's replacement, Ryan Day. Now, I know they love Ryan Day, and Urban loves Ryan Day. But to me, you're right. Oklahoma, if I was a quarterback and I could go anywhere, I have a hard time not going to Oklahoma just based on the fact that the past two seasons, you have two guys who are too small, right? In reality, too small. One of them, you know, had to walk on twice to make the team. You've guys that shouldn't be where they're at. Now, I know Kyler Murray was very heavily recruited and he was supposed to be great, but he was still small. And Lincoln Riley turned them into back-to-back Heisman winners. So to me, you could put Jalen Hurts a little bit lower here, like Fricky has him at 6, just based on the fact that he basically didn't play last year, except for the SEC title game, and Georgia fans remember that very well, right?
Look, I would love to see Jake Fromm win the Heisman this year.
Yeah.
Jalen's going to wrap this
thing
up really
quick.
No,
I think he will. Oklahoma could have back-to-back-to-back Heisman quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And what does that do for recruiting for Oklahoma when you can literally go, hey, you want to make it 4-for-4? Like, I'll make you go 4-for-4.
And what, back-to-back-to-back? First overall.
Yes, yes, and that's a very good point. And now Hurts is going to have a hard time because the draft class in 2020 is tough. But if he wins a Heisman over Tua, then we can start talking about that. He has Adrian Martinez from Nebraska, who I've been told is really, really good, despite the fact that he started 0-6. Like the Huskers, they're trying to get it going underneath their new head coach. It'd be his second year. I just forgot it. Scott Frost. There it is. But so Adrian Martinez is kind of that forgotten quarterback who plays at Nebraska. It's freezing cold, and Nebraska didn't win a lot of games last year, so you forget about him. So you can put him at 7. Kellen Mond is 8, and Kellen Mond is a very interesting quarterback. I've never been a Kellen Mond fan. Remember, I came from Texas to move to here to this job, so I saw a lot of Kellen Mond. I don't like him as a thrower. Now, in the Clemson game, he's played well, and he showed different times where he could throw the football very well, you know, the overtime game against LSU. I just don't like him in a head-to-head matchup where he has to score. Sam Ellinger is sitting at 9. There's another poor thrower of the football, but a gamer.
I think Ellinger should be a little bit higher
on
that
list. Sam Ellinger, see, I hate it because I called Texas games the past 2 years. I called one at DKR Stadium, a Baylor Texas game, and one at the McLean Stadium. And both times, the first time it was Shane Buechele's team. And then the second season, Ellinger was hurt because it was right after the Oklahoma game and he had been injured. And so I did not get to see Ellinger. It's actually Shane Buechele again. So I called back-to-back Shane Buechele games. But watching Ellinger on TV, he's the ultimate gamer. To me, he's like a right-handed Tim Tebow. Not a big thrower of the football, but he's big. He's thick when you stand next to him on the sidelines, just like Tim Tebow was. And he's going to will his team to win. He will, you know, take those quarterback powers and run up the middle and lower the shoulder. I'm a big Sam Ellinger fan. Number 9, you can see it because he's not that good of a thrower. But I would love to bump it up a little bit more. And number 10, for me, the wild card this season, like the real wild card, is Justin Herbert. And that's who Fricky has at number 10 is Justin Herbert. And he says it right here. He has all the tools to be a major star and a high draft pick in 2020. That's true. If he would have come out this year, he would have probably been the second or third best quarterback. Now, Kyler emerging would have hurt him, so he probably would have been the third quarterback coming off the board. But Herbert has all of the tools to be the next Carson Wentz. Like, he's built like Carson Wentz. He has a cannon for an arm. He's mobile in the pocket. And overall, I'm a big Justin Herbert fan. Now, he had a tough year last year at Oregon, so he's got to kind of make it up, you know? Like, that's why he's at 10. But, you know, Fricky, moving around a little bit, Fields being a little too high, that's my problem. But this at least shows us how absolutely fantastic quarterback play is in college football. Keep it right here. We got a ton coming up. We're going to talk a little bit of NFL coaches in the top of the next hour. Don't go anywhere. 929 The Game. Do we have a moon out tonight? I can't see. I'm not sure. Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe not. The moon is rising, though, because we're rising into hour number 3 here on our soon-to-be-named unnamed radio show. Again, 404-741-0929, the number to get in on the conversation. Really good college football quarterback talk in that last segment. One thing that Marshall was talking about during the break is that we forget that Jacob Eason is at Washington this year. Because he transferred there, and he could ball out at Washington. That's a prime place to Pac-12 is what Marshall mentioned, and I mentioned the fact that Washington had noodled arm Jake Browning, who literally like throws balls into the ground. His arm is so weak, and they made it to essentially the Final Four, right? The college football playoff. So Jacob Eason was on the honorable mentions, but he could very well be on that list, maybe replace like Kellen Mond. Quickly, before we move on to our next topic, again, I'm Thomas Mott singing with Marshall Parker. Marshall, a quick Champions League update, because actually a lot of stuff happened in the world of soccer. And I know here at Atlanta United fans, they love Atlanta United, but across the pond, a lot of stuff happened today.
Yeah, so we are, as Atlanta United fans, we are involved in the CONCACAF Champions League.
Yes.
And this is outside the regular season MLS stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So your European teams also have a Champions League called the UEFA Champions League. And the CONCACAF Champions League and the UEFA Champions League, they're going on together at the same time. Now, they work similarly but in different ways.
Yeah.
And so it was really interesting because there were two big matches today in the UEFA Champions League. And so for those of y'all that don't know, the Champions Leagues, those are kind of like the ultimate.
Yes.
Like, yes, your League Cup is important, but the Champions League, those are the cups that you want because you're playing against the best of the best at that point. So Tottenham from Premier League knocked off Dortmund, who is from Bundesliga, which is
the
German league. Yep. They knocked them off and eliminated them from UEFA 1-0. And then concurrently, Frank de Boer came from Ajax. They knocked off
the big one,
Real Madrid.
Yes.
At Real Madrid.
Woo!
And Real Madrid has won the last three UEFA Champions Leagues. They knocked off, Ajax knocked off Real Madrid 4-1.
Smoked them.
Just obliterated them. And so Real Madrid is now eliminated. But these Champions Leagues, yes, they're not regular season matches, but they are almost more important. And so I just wanted to put that out there because a lot, I have a lot of people that are like, oh, what is this? Is this Monterey match? Is this like a preseason thing?
Yeah.
No, it's a big
deal.
It's much bigger.
Yes. Well, and that's a great point too, right? And of course, you look at Real Madrid, you lose a guy like Cristiano Ronaldo. He goes to Juventus, and the wheels start to come off for Real Madrid. Again, that was at @mparker_radio on Twitter. He's a big soccer guy. Huge Atlanta United fan.
Real Madrid is hot garbage.
Isn't that,
since Ronaldo left.
Since Ronaldo left. Ronaldo's aging, but again, still pretty dang good for the team in Italy. Let's hang on. I think we got a flash coming up. Let's go to the quick sports flash, and then we're talking NFL coaches. Let's go to the flash.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.